Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Someone once said, there are three ingredients in a good life: learning, earning, and yearning. Now, there's great truth in that saying. In fact, we talked about it last night on Sunday Night Live. But the key to getting everywhere you want to be in life is not MasterCard.
Even though that ad would love you to believe that.
True. It's not MasterCard, but learning.
Yes.
On yesterday's call, we discussed scriptural business strategies to increase your learning and earning power. Regardless of whether you're employed, self-employed, underemployed, or no longer employed, these principles apply to every area of your life. But first, before we continue, let's do a brief review of what we talked about yesterday. Number one, seek God's direction on how you handle your business. Ecclesiastes 8:16, Living Bible. In my search for wisdom, I observed all that was going on everywhere across the earth. Ceaseless activity, day and night. Of course, only God can see everything, and even the wisest man who says he knows everything doesn't.
Number two, God wants you running an honest business. Proverbs 16:11 in the Message Bible says, God cares about honesty in the workplace. Your business is his business. You know, if there is but one thing that you get off today's call, it should be that your business is his business. And in business, God wants his business run honestly.
Hallelujah. Number three, offer a quality product and service. Proverbs 20:8, Message Bible. Leaders who know their business and care keep a sharp eye out for shoddy and cheap. For who among us can be trusted to always be diligent and honest?
Number four, plan ahead. Proper planning precipitates positive progress and performance, preventing possible problems and predicaments. See, I can say that
you
too.
You did it good, babe.
Proverbs 6:4 in the New Living Translation says, don't put it off, do it now. Don't rest until you do.
Now let's pick up where we left off on yesterday's call. Number five, treat everybody fairly.
1 Thessalonians 4:6-7. 1 Thessalonians 4:6-7 in the Classic Amplified Bible says that no man transgress and overreach his brother and defraud him in this matter or defraud his brother in business. For the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we have already warned you solemnly and told you plainly.
Let's give you a couple of examples. Let's say you own a heating and air conditioning business. You give a customer a quote for a new system, which will cost $7,000. He signs the contract. However, you're able to complete the job for $6,500 because of unexpected savings on material cost. Do you owe the customer a refund of the $500 difference? No. Because you didn't cut corners on the cost and you delivered everything as agreed. But let's say you own a Christian bookstore and you sell a person a Bible for $45. But after they leave, you realize the wrong barcode had been placed on the Bible and it should have sold for $40. Do you try to find a phone number for the customer so you can return the $5? Or do you just smile and think you made a little extra money that day? No, you find the customer because they weren't treated fairly.
In Deuteronomy 25:13-15 in the Living Bible, it says, in all your transactions, you must use accurate scales and honest measurements so that you will have a long, good life in the land the Lord your God is giving you.
Honesty in the marketplace is also mentioned in Proverbs 11:1 in the Classic Amplified Bible.
A false balance and unrighteous dealings are extremely offensive and shamefully sinful to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And in Luke 6, verse 31 in the English Standard Version, it says, "And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them."
Hallelujah. Number six, with God's help, you can take on even established businesses. If you have a competition in the marketplace, we find that a little self-examination on the basics is a good place to start. Here are 9 questions. First, who exactly is your customer?
Second, why does your customer buy?
Third, what does my customer consider value?
Fourth, what is it that makes your product or service superior to that of any of your competitors?
Fifth, why is it that your prospective customer does not buy your product or service?
Sixth, why does your prospective customer buy from your competitor?
Seventh, what value does he or she perceive in buying from your competitor?
And eighth, how can you offset that perception and get your competitor's customers to buy from you?
And ninth, what one thing must your customer be convinced of to buy from you rather than from someone else? From a natural standpoint, we would also suggest that your sales environment be proper. Now that we've given you natural thoughts on how you can take on established businesses, let us share with you what the Word of God says.
In 1 Samuel 17:33 in the Message Bible, Saul answered David, "You can't go and fight this Philistine. You're too young and inexperienced, and he's been at this fighting business since before you were born."
You have a not-so-silent business partner. I did that right.
You got it right.
Let me say it again. You have a not-so-silent business partner when you read your Bible and do what it says. Number 7, if you don't keep your word in business, you'll suffer the consequences. If you promise a customer, a client, a business associate, or anyone else to do a certain thing and you don't, then you've lost credibility with that person. Your reputation as a doer is important. But it's equally important for you to be known as a finisher. Promising to do something then failing to do so is a reflection on your character. If you promise to perform a certain task for a customer, friend, or neighbor, and fail to keep your word, it is a reflection on your integrity, and you will suffer the consequences of being thought of as unreliable. Over the years, I've talked with a number of people who couldn't understand why they weren't debt free, why they could never get ahead, why sad things were always happening to them, or their harvest hadn't manifested. Yet upon discussion, I discovered instances where they had failed to keep their word or promises they'd made. There are two things he wants from you, according to
Psalm 50, verse 14, in the Contemporary English Version, it says, "I am God Most High. The only sacrifice I want is for you to be thankful and to keep your word." First, it says in the scripture, God wants us to be thankful for everything he's done and is doing through our lives, and we should be doing that anyway. But second, God is very specific in saying that he wants us to keep our word so that when we promise somebody something, that we keep it and that they know they can count on us. So it's really pretty clear that being thankful and keeping our word are very important to God. Therefore, they should be important to us too.
Amen. Number 8, inspect what you expect to prevent defects. Simply said, you must inspect what you expect to prevent defects if you want to be perfect in your plan. As we were preparing for this conference call, we came across Lamentations 3:40 in the New Living Translation.
And this is what it said. Instead, let us test and examine our ways. Let us turn back to the Lord.
In monitoring our progress, we'll find that any turning from the Lord or minimizing our time with Him will adversely affect our progress. That's why monitoring or self-examination is one of the most important things you can do.
In 1 Timothy 4, verse 15 in the New Living Translation, it says, give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your task so that everyone will see your progress.
Focus is critical to the success of your daily plan, which impacts the success of the decisions you've made, the actions you take. That's why your complete attention to every detail is so important. Check your progress each day around lunchtime and make any necessary adjustments, ensuring your success.
And in Galatians 6, verse 4, in God's Word translation, it says, each of you must examine your own actions. Then you can be proud of your own accomplishments without comparing yourself to others. Our biggest competitor should be with ourselves.
That's true.
To be better people.
That's very good. Number 9, being diligent in business will bring you before great people. Quick scan of Proverbs reveals several reasons why everyone should be a diligent worker, whether for yourself or your employer. We discovered something rather interesting as we were studying diligent, which is the Hebrew word H2742. It's found 18 times in 17 verses in the King James Bible. In 5 of those verses, the Hebrew word is translated as diligent. However, in 6 of those verses, the word is translated as go.
Quite a little difference.
It is. Being a diligent worker is equated with go. If you want the goal, the riches in life, you must be diligent. Here are 3 of the verses that we looked at.
Proverbs 10, verse 4 in the Classic Amplified. He becomes poor who works with a slack and idle hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. In Proverbs 12, verse 24 in the Message Bible, it says, the diligent find freedom in their work. The lazy are oppressed by work. Think of that. Proverbs 21, verse 5. The thought of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. And the New Living Translation of Proverbs 21, verse 5 says it this way. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty.
Wow, great scripture. Here's the important thing. If you want to stand before a king or a person of authority, you must be the skilled, ever ready, and your performance must be gold of the greatest value. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finally, heed the words of the Message Bible translation of Hebrews 12, 2 and 3.
We better get on with it. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Study how he did it because he never lost sight of where he was headed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Well, guess what? We didn't finish today. But we'll get back again on it tomorrow. So make sure you join us. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to the top where it says, sow a seed. Ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.